"Look for the helpers," says Fred Rogers in his famous quote. When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." Fred Rogers was a minister and public figure, probably best known for his children's program, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, that transports its viewers by train from an everyday living room to a make-believe world inhabited by characters such as Daniel Striped Tiger, the caring and kind Lady Aberlin, and the tyrant King Friday. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood became well known for its colorful and playful ways of dealing with meaningful, real-life problems. In one episode, Daniel Tiger sings to Lady Aberlin, "Sometimes I wonder if I'm a mistake. I'm not like anyone else I know. When I'm asleep or even awake, sometimes I get to dreaming that I'm just a fake." Daniel Tiger laments he's too tame to be a tiger, so surely he must be a mistake. But Lady Aberlin reassures him, "I think you are just fine as you are. I really must tell you, I do like the person that you are becoming. You're no mistake. You are my friend." Through songs and puppets and simple conversation, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood became a renowned children's TV show for its ability to address creativity, imagination, and more difficult, but still very real themes like fear and confusion and sadness. Mr. Rogers himself became known for the way he spoke to children at their level and is painted in documentaries as a comforting figure to children and their parents. In times of national tragedy, Fred Rogers was often asked to do a broadcast addressing the event and the confusing, scary emotions that came up for people of any age. It was in this sort of address to his viewers that Fred Rogers recounted the advice of his mother, "Look for the helpers." The phrase still turns up again and again today. I often see it posted as a Facebook status today after tragedies. I've heard its overuse criticized many times, but it remains meaningful to me. I grew up watching Mr. Rogers, and was reminded recently of my fondness for the show when we were assigned the 2018 documentary, "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" for my ministry studies course. And as I think about it now, I realize it's not necessarily the phrase itself that strikes me. It's thinking of Mr. Rogers delivering those words. It calls to mind the values that I associate with Fred Rogers and the whole neighborhood on his show. Kindness, love, and respect, curiosity and imagination, values that do bring me comfort during darker times. These values are the core of Mr. Rogers' identity. Through his non-traditional ministry of a song and puppet-filled TV program, he established an identity so strong that well over a decade after his passing, the values I associate with him still bring me comfort when I hear the words, "Look for the helpers," or "Won't you be my neighbor?" Identity matters. Societies are built around symbols and patterns, methods of identification and communication that help us to navigate our daily lives. We wear uniforms, we drive past traffic lights and signs, advertisements blown up on billboards, different brands. An airport is a perfect example of these systems of identification. I flew back from Ohio for my Christmas break on Tuesday, and based on the signs posted around Cleveland Hopkins and Logan, I knew how to find a restroom by the little stick figure people, and where to find the closest Starbucks by the famous Green Mermaid, and where to pick up my suitcase once we landed, the icon of a bag printed next to the words "baggage claim." I knew how to identify the pilot by a suit and his tie, complete with a badge of wings on the lapel. The flight attendants had their uniform too, which for JetBlue is a navy blue blazer or dress finished with a bright orange scarf and tie. The TSA ward agents wore their notable bright blue shirts, decorated with name badges and credentials, and most of them wore rubber gloves. And my identity as a traveler to Boston was apparent not only by my suitcase and my backpack and my stress, but officially confirmed by my driver's license and boarding pass. In order to get from my point A to my point B, the identity of all these people, the meaning of all these signs, my own identity, was essential. In today's gospel, crowds have gathered around John, whose identity as a baptizer, as a prophet, a proclaimer of the word, has already begun to form. People have come to him to be baptized in the river, to hear the things he teaches. And they start to wonder, who else could this John be? Could he be the Messiah? But no, he tells them, someone else is coming, someone more powerful than John's. John baptizes with water, but this expected one will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that question of identity returns. Who could this be? This one about whom John proclaims, I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. And the answer to that question, who could this be, comes in a big way. Heaven is open, the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove, and a voice identifying Jesus speaks, You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Identity matters. Today we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, the moment when Jesus was named the Son of God, the Beloved, the one with whom God is well pleased. The moment when Jesus' identity, foreshadowed by John, is confirmed by a voice from heaven. The author of Luke places his baptismal account just before a genealogy that connects Jesus' lineage all the way back to Adam. The pairing of a declaration from heaven, naming Jesus the Son of God, plus an account of his earthly line, does the work of framing Jesus' identity. And baptism is all about identity. If you were to flip on your hymnals to the pages detailing the sacrament of baptism, which if you do want to is page 227, you see the prominence of identity in the presentation, the profession of faith, in the marking of the sign of the cross on the newly baptized, and in these final words. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Through the waters of baptism, we take on a new identity. We are made new, marked as God's own, and welcomed into the body of Christ. But what does it really mean to take on this new identity? It's not outwardly obvious. There's no uniform that designates a baptized person. So sure, there are many symbols associated with baptism and with Christianity, and I suppose that often infants wear white at their baptisms. And there is that passage in Ephesians about putting on the armor of God, the belt of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness. Still, though, there's not really a uniform, like a pilot or a firefighter or a police officer might wear to outwardly pronounce their identity. The identity bestowed upon us in the baptismal waters is less about the signs and the symbols, like the ones that help me navigate the airport, and more about the kind of life this new identity calls us to lead, the kind of person it asks us and allows us to become. A little later, if you continue in the hymnal, on page 236, the affirmation of baptism reminds us of the covenant made with God in holy baptism. To live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people, following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. This is what it means to adopt the identity of a baptized person. An identity not made known in the wearing of a uniform, but embodied in a life of loving and serving others, remembered through the waters of each newly baptized member, and called to mind in the voice that comes from heaven, You are mine. Amen. Thank you.